All that we need to know for life and godliness is here in this book.
Elizabeth Elliot says, "I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful. Which are you? Which am I?" Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty and Passion and Purity, Learning to Bring Your Love Life Under God's Control. Helping you find joy in your Christian walk with the Savior today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer. We've talked about God's kingdom, God's will, daily bread, forgiveness, and now we come to that phrase, lead us not into temptation. Somebody accused me not long ago in a letter of not being in touch with reality. Well, if I'm not in touch with reality, with a capital R, I don't really know what to do about it, because reality is God's world, God's word, what God tells me. And the more I study the Bible, the more I realize that it is absolutely relevant. It is as relevant today as it ever was when it was written. It is relevant. And sometimes we have the idea that modern psychology or modern philosophy or modern education or thinking of some sort is more relevant. It's not more relevant. Certainly God allows man to discover all sorts of, quote, new things, unquote. Nothing is new to God. It's been there all the time. But as new truths are unearthed and new scientific discoveries are made, our knowledge increases. But all that we need to know for life and godliness is here in this book. And this prayer that Jesus gave us as a model for the rest of our prayers touches us at every single point of human need. We need food because we're physical bodies. We need forgiveness because we're sinners. We need guidance. All of those things define our humanness, don't they? The need for food, the need for forgiveness, the need for guidance. We don't know what to do. We need help. I love that hymn, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are." And it goes on. I guess I have to restrain myself from quoting too many hymns. I realized when I listened to one of my programs a few weeks ago that I think I got about three or four hymns in there, which is a bit much. But you must forgive me. My theology is all bound up with the hymns that I learned when I was a child. There are so many beautiful shepherd hymns, and I enjoy playing a medley of them that I worked out myself many, many years ago, a medley of shepherd hymns that go together. But we are allowed to ask with the assurance of a child for personal guidance, or shall I say with the assurance of a sheep to his shepherd. What is the shepherd there for, if not to give guidance? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. A beautiful picture of the concern, the solicitude, the care, the tenderness of a shepherd. But you and I have got to believe that God does lead us. We've got to listen. We've got to pay attention to his instructions. How many times have you given directions for friends to reach your house and they get lost? Well, the fault might lie with your inability to give clear directions, But it also might just be that they don't pay attention to what you've told them. Our house is not very easy to find. We live on a street called Strawberry Cove in a little tiny town called Magnolia in Massachusetts. Hardly anybody in Magnolia knows where Strawberry Cove is, and it's very easy to miss because the street sign is way up on a tree. It's not on the proper pole. So I have to give extremely careful directions, and people get lost all the time. They tell us they'll be there at 6 o'clock, and they get there at 6:45, and I say, well, did you get lost? Well, yes. Well, what was the point at which you got lost? How far did my directions work? And, you know, a number of times I've discovered that the reason they got lost was because they didn't believe me. They didn't really think I meant what I said. And so they said, well, I know you said right here, but we thought it couldn't be that way, so we went left. Maybe it wasn't quite that obvious, but it's amazing how often people have gotten lost just because of a failure to pay attention or a failure to really believe that I meant what I said. We've got to believe that the shepherd is going to guide us. Now back to that question that we've asked and tried to answer many times before on this program, how in the world can you find the will of God? There are three principles that to me are absolutely basic. And they're found right in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, I implore you, my brothers, by God's mercy, to offer your very selves to him, a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for his acceptance, the worship offered by mind and heart. Adapt yourselves no longer to the pattern of this present world, but let your minds be remade and your whole nature thus transformed. Then you will be able to discern the will of God and to know what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now there are three conditions in this passage that lead to my ability to discern the will of God. It takes discernment. God doesn't give us handwriting on the wall. He doesn't send an angel to speak to us in an audible voice. At least he's never sent any angels to me, and he's never given me any visions or any voices. I have to discern the will of God. Well, how can I do it? Three conditions. Number one is there in the first verse. Offer your very selves to him. A living sacrifice dedicated and fit for his acceptance, the worship offered by mind and heart. And to condense that, it means to tell God that you belong to him, you'll do anything he says. The second thing is, stop adapting yourself to the world's way of thinking. But let your mind be remade. Now, the only way I know to counteract the power of the worldly thinking that comes at us every day is to make use of the antidote, which is the Word of God. I must be saturating myself in the Word of God. That's the second point. Read the Bible. Think about it. Pray. Expect God to lead you through His Word. And then the third thing is obedience. Let your minds be remade and your whole nature transformed. If my nature is transformed, I am going to be obedient. Then you will be able to discern the will of God and to know what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Will you do what God tells you to do? Well, then you've got to be doing what he's already told you to do. Obedience. Another great passage on the guidance of God, Psalm 143, verses 5 to 8. I dwell upon the years long past, upon the memory of all that thou hast done. The wonders of thy creation fill my mind. To thee I lift my outspread hands, a thirst for thee in a thirsty land. Lord, make haste to answer, for my spirit faints. Now here's a picture of a man thinking upon the Lord, dwelling upon the way in which God has led him, lifting up his hands, praying, make haste to answer. Do not hide thy face from me, or I shall be like those who go down to the abyss. In the morning, let me know thy true love. I have put my trust in thee. That means that you've got to meet God, and a good time to do it is in the morning. Another petition, show me the way that I must take. To thee I offer all my heart. Deliver me, Lord, from my enemies, for with thee I have sought refuge. Study that passage if you're looking for guidance, Psalm 143, 5-8. Can you imagine a loving shepherd ignoring one of his sheep's crying? I used to worry and worry and worry about going astray. As I told you a few days ago, I wanted to be a nurse, then I wanted to be a doctor, then I wanted to be a linguist. Then I worried about what field to go to. I worried about when to go, about how to get there, about which tribe God wanted me to go to. I worried all the time about whether Jim Elliot was ever going to marry me. What if he gets killed? What to do next? What about the Alcas, the people who did kill him? How should I do it? When? I can look back and see that never once did God fail me. He made me wait. He made me submit to him my perplexities. He made me pray, and I prayed desperately. But in his time, each thing was clear when the time came. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Lead us not into temptation. It's a petition that gets us right down where we live, isn't it? Trust him, and then obey.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.